carbon we're going to need. For the biochemists, for instance, if they want to look at carbon for these big proteins, they actually have to get in and fine-tune some bugs to express the protein. Okay, so they get in with the genes and manipulate the genes so that the bug, which will usually be E. coli, makes that protein for them. And then they feed the E. coli carbon-13 labeled substrate. So it puts carbon-13 into the protein. And only that way will it have enough carbon-13 in the molecules so they can actually use it for this NMR. Whereas for organic chemistry, you've got a relatively low molecular weight material, so you know you can get by with 20 to 100 grams of material, but 100 milligrams of material. But for biochemists, where you've got a molecular weight of 100,000, a couple of 100,000, you know you would need a lot of material, and they can't get that much material, so they actually have to spend months or however long it takes to figure out how to express the protein, and then after that, they spend a bit of money to label the protein of interest. But it's worth it because you can get the chemical information you need on structure. So our nuclear spin then that we're going to pick on is spin a half. The number of possible orientations of the little nuclear bar magnet then is governed by a rule, 2i plus 1, where we feed in the spin quantum number. So with a value of a half then, our number of orientations is 2. Okay, 2 times a half plus 1 is 2. That means if we put it into an external magnetic field, our little nuclear magnet, we get two possible orientations, a spin up and a spin down. So here is our applied magnetic field here, which is given the symbol capital B subscript 0 to indicate this is the applied magnetic field. And the low energy state then has the nuclear spin field aligned with the external field, and the high energy spin state has it anti-aligned with the applied magnetic field. That's called the parallel and the